Psalm 104, and I'm going to read that if I may. It's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. This is from the Good News Version, which I find reads a little easier than some others. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and do not forget how kind he is. Praise the Lord, my soul, O Lord my God, how great you are. You are clothed with majesty and glory. You cover yourself with light. You have spread out the heavens like a tent and built your home on the waters above. You use the clouds as your chariot and ride on the wings of the wind. You use the winds as your messengers and flashes of lightning as your servants. You have set the earth firmly on its foundations, and it will never be moved. You place the ocean over it like a robe, and the water covered the mountains. When you rebuked the waters, they fled. They rushed away when they heard your shout of command. They flowed over the mountains and into the valleys to the place you had made for them. You set a boundary they can never pass to keep them from covering the earth again. You make springs flow in the valleys and rivers run between the hills. They provide water for the wild animals. There the wild donkeys quench their thirst. In the trees nearby, the birds make their nests and sing. From the sky you send rain on the hills, and the earth is filled with your blessings. You make grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to use so that he can grow his crops and produce wine to make him happy, olive oil to make him cheerful, and bread to give him strength. The cedars of Lebanon get plenty of rain, the Lord's own trees which he planted. There the birds build their nests, the storks nest in the fir trees. The wild goats live high in the mountains, and the rock badgers hide in the cliffs. You created the moon to mark the months. The sun knows the time to set. You made the night, and in the darkness all the wild animals come out. The young lions roar while they hunt, looking for food that God provides. When the sun rises, they go back and lie down in their dens. Then people go out and do their work and keep working until evening. Lord, you have made so many things. How wisely you have made them all. The earth is filled with all your creatures. There is ocean large and wide where countless creatures live, live and small, large and small alike. The ships sail on it, and in it plays the whale, the sea monster, which you made. All of them depend on you to give them food when they need it, to give it to them and they eat it. You provide food and they are satisfied. When you turn away, they are afraid. When you take away your breath, they die and go back to the dust from which they came. But when you give them breath, they are created. You give new life to the earth. May the glory of the Lord last forever, and may the Lord be happy with what he has made. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray for a moment. Almighty God, that is awesome. Attention to details of your creation in the Psalms. We ask your blessing now as we reflect on your word. Speak to us, Lord, to our minds and our hearts, and to our will. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. What a... Wow! David gives us a beautiful panorama of creation. And it makes one thing clear. The earth belongs to the Lord. He made it. He set it up. He sustains it. Is there an echo going on here? Bob, can you get rid of that echo? Thanks. I mean, echoes are fine, but not during a sermon. It's all there for His glory and for His joy. And I love that line. May the Lord be happy with what He has made. May He be happy with what He has made. How do we human beings fit into the picture? I think about Genesis and the Garden of Eden, the way God wanted it all to be. Genesis 2:15, the Lord took man and put him in the garden to work it and to keep it. So our job is not to dominate, not to exploit, not to pollute, not to destroy. That doesn't make God happy, does it? Our job is to be stewards, working and keeping what God created, like we're supposed to, like He designed. Keeping what God loves. Everybody remembers John 3:16. Remember the very first few words? How does it begin? God so loved the world. Wow. And you can hear it in that Psalm 104. And when we just look around, God must love this wonderful creation. Conservationist Aldo Leopold once said that in order to save a place, you must first love it. And I want to ask you, what places do you love? What places have nurtured you in your lifetime? You know, maybe somebody here has a special place. I remember when I was a boy and we would spend summers in the country, there was a tree outside the little cottage that we had, and I loved to climb that tree. It was an apple tree, and I would just rest on one of the limbs, and I loved to be rocked on that limb in the wind. It's just a wonderful feeling. And I love to hear the squeaking of the limbs as they rubbed against each other. That was a wonderful tree. It was a wonderful place to sit and to dream dreams. Wow. Maybe you've got something like that, you know? Maybe the tree, I don't know. Tree you loved. I'd like to conjure up in your mind's eye a place you love best. I want you to see and hear and feel and taste that place in exquisite detail, huh? You've got it in here. Maybe it was a field with silky tall grasses. Can you feel the grasses? Can you smell the air? Or maybe it was a forest glen. You come out from the dark forest and you're out all of a sudden and you feel the sunshine on your face. Maybe it was a trail up the side of a mountain, or maybe along the rocky coastline of Maine. Maybe it's a sandy stretch of beach. Can you smell the salt air? Can you feel the sand on your feet? Or maybe it's a trout stream. I have a fly fishing friend. Maybe it's a trout stream where you like to go fly fishing. Where is that place that you love? All of us have places in nature that we love. And I know that we would be filled with grief if we came along and suddenly saw that tree hacked down, wouldn't we? Or that beach suffering an oil spill. Or that trout stream becoming polluted and lifeless. As Christians, we are called to love not only the places that are so dear to us, but much more. We're called to love the whole earth that God created and called good. We are called to love places
we have never seen or been to. We are called to advocate for the restoration of places that are no longer pristine and pretty because of human decisions. I remember helping to transform a lot in Camden, and I remember we wanted to transform it into a garden. I remember picking up the trash and the cinder blocks and the bricks and the pieces of metal and the plastic and the paper trash. And eventually, that plot of useless land became a garden. A garden filled with flowers and vegetables there in the middle of an urban area. What a moment, what a breath of air and life that was. We're asked to be advocates. I remember signing a petition for clean air, getting involved. We're called to remember the words of Native Americans whose people were here long before the whites arrived. Chief Seattle, who said, "We did not create the web of life. We are only a strand in it. And whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves." We need to be aware. But you know, since the start of the Industrial Revolution, we human beings have sort of forgotten and ignored God's call to care for creation. We put smog in the air, we put toxins into the soil, we put pollution into the waters, we filled our atmosphere with greenhouse gases and CO2 exhaust. But you know, today, prompted by worldwide concerns for climate change, we are becoming aware again. And it's clear that since we began burning fossil fuel back in the 1900s, burning oil and coal, the amount of carbon in the atmosphere has steadily increased. And that carbon, in the form of carbon dioxide, puts carbon into the atmosphere. We now know that there are 400 parts carbon per million in the atmosphere. This means that there's too much carbon for the trees to absorb and change that CO2 back into just carbon that goes into the tree and oxygen, which we breathe. And that carbon is creating an effect like a thermos around our Earth. It's keeping the heat of the sun in. It can't bounce back out into Earth, into space again. It keeps it in like a thermos. And so we have what is called global warming. The web of life is being disturbed. The glaciers clearly are melting, so the sea level is rising, which affects the shoreline. The atmosphere is heating up. It's causing all kinds of effects in our delicate web of life. Areas are becoming arid, preventing agriculture, and so in some areas there are food shortages. Other areas are being flooded with too much rain. Storms are becoming more severe. Oceans more acidic, because the CO2 is being absorbed by the ocean water, forming carbonic acid. The water's becoming too acid, and half the coral in our oceans are dead, which means that we've destroyed habitat for fish, which means we are messing around with the food chain. It's what we're doing. This is not the world that God created and intends. Point. I doubt that God is happy with what we've done with his creation in so many instances. But you know, when I was a boy growing up in New York City, the Hudson River was so polluted that it was dead. Dead. Nothing lived in the Hudson River. The air I breathed in was filled with carbon monoxide and dioxide and soot from the incinerators that were burning the garbage in each individual apartment. house. The noxious chemicals from buses and cars and factories was being poured into the air that each one of us breathed in. But you know, today our urban areas are becoming clean. Fish have returned to the Hudson River. With purification, the Hudson River is a source of drinking water for New Yorkers. And I don't mind breathing in the air when I visit the Big Apple again from time to time. My eyes don't sting, and I'm not in fear for my lungs. Point, change is possible. It doesn't just happen. It's done by intentionality and effort. I'm an advocate for cleaner environment. Yes, I am. And starting now, our decisions have to advance toward a society that is carbon free. Are we aware of that? In 2010, 40,000 evangelical Christian leaders met in Cape Town, South Africa. And they added creation care to their global evangelical agenda. You see, lives and the quality of life is at stake. And so creation care is a moral and an ethical issue. Can we change our behavior? A century and a half ago, revivalist Charles Finney wrote, "When the Christian church has it in her power, the Christian church has it in her power to reform this nation. No nation has the strength to resist any reform which God's people have unitedly demanded." There's power in the pew. It's going to take all of us and a massive Holy Spirit-driven power shift. And I ask, are you aware? Are you aware? Are you ready to do something? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you.